Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every university has a scandal every now and then. We just have the flavor of the week.
That's William Tierney, professor emeritus at the University of Southern California. He's been at USC for almost 3 decades, and he's seen the place get caught up in scandal, and not just every now and then.
What is it about USC that has created a non-ending bit of scandal mania for the institution?
I've asked myself that same question many times. What is it with USC and its scandals? My colleagues and I have exposed a number of them over the years. And it's not that we go looking for them. They find us. My name is Paul Pringle. I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is Fallen Angels. This story is about power and money and how they can eat away at a place, corrupt it, and destroy people's lives in the process. It's the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles. This is episode 2, The Trojan Wall. Devon Khan was working at the Hotel Constance in Pasadena. He'd been there when a young woman overdosed on drugs. The man she was with was questioned by the police, but was allowed to just walk away. It turned out that the man was the dean of USC's medical school. His name is Carmen Pugliafito. The cops had done nothing, and USC itself had just ignored Devon's call. He'd been trying to get a tip to the LA Times when he met a Times photographer named Ricardo Deratonia.
I'm like, boy, do I have a tip for you. And he's like, well, I'm just a photographer, but what's the story? So I laid it out for him, and he's like, yeah, that's the story. He goes, like I said, I'm a photographer, but I can get the tip to the right person.
Ricardo and the editors bring the tip to me, since I have some history investigating USC. So I call Devon Khan.
I get a call from Paul. He says, yeah, I understand that, you know, you have a tip. Would you mind explaining to me what happened?
Devon's story is detailed and thorough. He seems like a credible source, but he does have one important condition.
So just understand that I need to remain anonymous. Can't have this jeopardizing my job at all. He assured me that I would remain anonymous. He says, okay, I'm going to start looking into this. He goes, I'm definitely going to have to give you a call back from time to time. Is that okay? I say, sure, whatever you need.
The Times has strict guidelines for granting anonymity to sources. They need to have a compelling reason to go unnamed, like the fact that they would get fired if they were identified. Devon makes that case to me convincingly. But before I can even think about building a story around an anonymous tip, I have to check out and nail down every detail of Devon's account. This is the starting point of the investigation. First, I check to see if there has been any recent news about Pugliafido. And yeah, it turns out that 11 days earlier, he had, quote, stepped down as dean of the medical school. The press release gives no reason for his sudden resignation, and it's in the middle of the school term, which seems like strange timing. I scrub public records for more on Pugliafido. I find a recent divorce petition filed by his wife. At the same time, I reach out to the coroner's office to see if there's been a death of a young woman in the past few weeks who matches the description Devon had given me. And I head over to the Pasadena Police Department to get a copy of the police report from the incident. The Pasadena police say there is no police report, just a heavily redacted document, a log that shows the police accompanied paramedics on a call. Considering what Devon has told me about what he witnessed in the hotel room, the fact that there's no police report strikes me as very odd.
Any situation where somebody is seriously injured or likely to die or is dead, those are the cases that would be an automatic complaint report.
Joseph Jacalone had a long career as an NYPD detective with a specialty in forensic investigations. He's one of the experts I contact for law enforcement stories.
If you find lots of paraphernalia at the scene or guns and drugs or whatever you might find, those all have to have a report because there's nothing on paper. There's nothing to investigate. There's nothing to charge. And that's why documentation becomes real important. And any attorney in the world will tell you that. If it wasn't documented, it wasn't done.
And the fact that there was a camera potentially filming everything in the room, that raises all kinds of questions.
What were they filming? There's lots of evidence that could be found on that video, including the illegal use of narcotics, who was using them, and how they were being administered.
But when I asked the police spokesperson about the lack of a report, I'm told the incident had been viewed as a, quote, medical emergency, not a crime. I also contact USC's executive offices several times, trying to reach USC President Max Nikias to ask him why the dean of the medical school has suddenly stepped down. No response whatsoever. And then I get an email from Pugliafido himself.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Julio Fido writes, quote, I understand from my colleagues here at USC that you've been inquiring about my stepping down as dean of the medical school. I wanted to reach out to you directly and let you know that my decision was entirely my own. The timing of my decision was related to a unique, time-limited opportunity in the biotech industry, something which I am looking forward to sharing with others soon. USC was nice enough to grant me a sabbatical to explore this opportunity. I got that email from him on April 20th, 2016, a couple of weeks into my investigation. Naturally, I write him back saying I have questions, and I call. I tell him I'm aware of the events that occurred on March 4th at the Hotel Constance, and I intend to pursue the story. No reply. I have the same luck with Nikias and the people close to him. Silence. I'm not surprised by the lack of response from USC's leaders. Silence had become their typical way of dealing with me. I've investigated USC more than once. A colleague and I discovered that USC's athletic director was paying himself and his family members from a scholarship fund for low-income students. I investigated a cheating scandal involving a coach of the USC football team, the Trojans. And then there was our reporting on the deal that gave USC control of the publicly owned LA Coliseum.
The Coliseum was built to honor World War I veterans.
That's Bernard Parks. Most people call him Bernie.
It's the only place in the world that's had the kinds of major events, the first Super Bowl, multiple Olympics, the visit of the Pope. It's basically one of the most recognized facilities in the world.
Bernie Parks was chief of the LAPD from 1997 to 2002. For the next 12 years, he served as a member of the LA City Council, representing the 8th District in South LA. He's also a USC alum. The Coliseum, part of his district, is very important to him and his constituents.
It's housed SC football for decades because it's right across the street. It's not a modern football facility as we see on TV, whether it's NFL or other college stadium. SC, it always hinted at they not only wanted to have more upgrades of the facility, they also hinted strongly that if these things couldn't be done, they would like to take over the facility.
In 2011, USC launched an aggressive campaign to take control of the Coliseum through a master lease that would extend for nearly a century. The decision on whether to accept USC's proposal was up to the commission that managed the Coliseum. Parks was on that commission.
They actually sent a proposal to the Coliseum Commission, and unanimously the commission rejected it. Members of the Coliseum Commission actually laughed at the deal because it was so preposterous. It was like, give us the Coliseum and let us run it. And community was not even part of the equation. And so a letter was sent with unanimous signatures from every member of the Coliseum Commission saying, no, thank you. We don't want to participate. This is not a deal for the city. But SC did what it does.
And what SC does is deploy its powerful trustees and other allies to lean on the commission.
The amount of money that they have is significant. The amount of influence they have as far as their graduates and their alumni, the amount of exposure they get from their athletic program. They don't have any problem pushing their weight around as it relates to things that they want. They went to Schwarzenegger at the state, and they insisted that with his three appointments, could he make one of them a member of SC's management or their board? And so he agreed to that.
Parks believed that after Governor Schwarzenegger made those appointments to the Colosseum Commission, resistance to a USC takeover started to crumble.
For some reasons, when Schwarzenegger got convinced that this was a good deal, all of a sudden the state began to send messages quietly that they were in support of this. And so this process continues, and the Colosseum Commission approves this deal, and it moves forward. You're basically giving away a facility that was built for military veterans, and you're giving it to a private entity with the ability for them to do with it as they please and keep all the money. There is absolutely no benefit to the city, county, and state.
Bernie says this is the Trojan playbook. Whenever it faces resistance, USC calls on its network of power brokers to neutralize the opposition.
I think what it shows, when people fall in line, they fall in line.
It's now June, 3 months since the overdose at the Hotel Constance, 2 months into my reporting. I learned from a person within USC that President Nikias is hosting a celebration for Pugliafito in honor of all he has done for the medical school. The reception will be held at the Keck School of Medicine, on the lawn outside a building named for Eli and Edith Broad, the LA billionaire couple whose $30 million gift paid for it. They made the gift 3 years into Pugliafito's tenure as dean, perhaps a testament to his fundraising skills. My source shows me the invitation they've received for the event. It's embossed in gold on heavy stock. Very nice. I'm definitely not invited, but I show up anyway. USC's a private school, but the campus clearly invites entry by the public. Just in case, though, I'm careful not to break any trespassing rules. I make sure to stay on the sidewalk and off the university's lawn. It's a little hard to hear from where I'm standing, but here's the gist. Nikias is extolling Pugliafito's many accomplishments as dean. Pugliafito thanks his wife. I'll have to check the status of that divorce filing. This is the first time I've seen Pugliafito in person. I'm struck by his confidence. He appears as if he has nothing to worry about, my investigation included. Why would the president of USC put on such a public show of appreciation for Pugliafito, especially if he knew that the LA Times is investigating him? It might have something to do with the priorities that drove Max Nikias. Professor William Tierney had been at Penn State before coming to USC in 1994.
When I went to SC, a lot of my friends said, geez, you know, SC is not of the same caliber as Penn State. Why would you be moving to USC? There's an association called the AAU, the Association of American Universities, and that's the elite institutions. At the time, SC was at the bottom of the AAU and trying to move up. Steve Sample came in with a great deal of energy and really wanted to transform the institution.
Steve Sample was president of USC from 1991 to 2010. Tierney saw what he was trying to do, and he believed Sample could pull it off.
For a university to be the best, it's not that we've got a winning football team. It's that you've got a faculty that are the best, and you are listening to what they say they need. And that also meant that we needed to bring in enormous amounts of money in a capital campaign.
Sample devoted himself to fundraising nonstop, and when he retired, Max Nikias seemed like the perfect choice to continue that pursuit.
Max was someone who, if you called from New York and said, I've got Joe, and he's willing to have breakfast with you tomorrow, and he might give us big money, but you need to be here for breakfast, Max would take the red eye. And if he knew that he needed to be back in Los Angeles that night for some type of dinner, he'd do it.
Nikias' drive is understandable when you consider his background as an immigrant who came to this country intent on making something of himself.
Max came from a very poor family in Cyprus. His father was a carpenter. His father said to him at one point, you're a smart, smart boy. I might send you to high school, and if you work hard, you can graduate and then become a carpenter. for Max to graduate, go to the United States, to go to SUNY Buffalo to get his doctorate, comes to USC, rises through the ranks, and become a president. Amazing.
And his rise brought him into the same room with a lot of rich, powerful, famous people.
When you're having dinner with Steven Spielberg, that's a different sort of undertaking. I do think that created a disconnect between the world of the faculty and the world of LA. At Max's inauguration, he said, USC, we have to work so hard that we have to run a marathon at a 10K speed. I went up to him afterwards and I said, Max, you can't do that. And you shouldn't tell people to do that. And he said, oh, but we have to.
When he was recruited to USC to run the medical school, Pugliafito understood perfectly that the mandate was to bring in money, and he delivered.
Fundraising in the United States is sort of an odd thing. If you're at Columbia or Harvard, there's a lot of old money and foundations that will give you money. The West, especially Los Angeles, is the opposite of that. It's a lot of new money, and you need to be charismatic in a way that Max and Carmen had. They knew how to court donors successfully, and they did.
By the time he, quote, steps down as dean, Pugliafito has become the public face of the medical school. If the dean were to get caught up in a scandal, it would be bad for USC. This backslapping ceremony at the Keck School of Medicine might be a face-saving gesture for Pugliafito, but maybe it's one for USC as well.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
This was a story that had the potential to hold a powerful institution and a powerful person accountable for misconduct.
Matt Late was my editor at this time. Throughout his career, he's seen his share of corruption and cover-ups.
I was at the LA Times for about 28 years. I always tried to focus on investigative reporting, both as a reporter and an editor. I worked with reporters who uncovered corruption at City Hall, abuses in the LA County jails, I worked on investigations about dirty doctors, and prior to the USC investigation, I was working on one about Purdue Pharma. These are tough stories to do. They can be controversial. They can have an impact on the paper's reputation, the paper's finances, the paper's legal standing. They are all issues that need to be considered when taking on powerful institutions. But my feeling is that if these are good stories, they should be published.
With Matt's support, I keep digging. I find Pugliafito's home address. It's a mansion in Pasadena, of course. It sits behind a high security gate, no way to knock on his door. I leave my business card with a note on his mailbox, urging him to get in touch. He doesn't. Finally, I get a break. I've made multiple public records requests to the Pasadena police, including for the information redacted on the call log from the incident. I need a way to verify what Devon has told me, and the best way to do that is through police records. So I've been chasing them constantly with no response. But then the police chief writes that the records I requested are exempt from disclosure because they're part of a criminal investigation. Wait a minute, what investigation? How could you have an investigation without a police report? The chief set a trap for himself and walked right into it. Now the city will have to cough up a report.
This story, like a lot of investigative reporting to me, is like detective work. You're out knocking on doors and chasing leads and gathering information and filing public records requests. There's a couple of different thoughts in journalism, and the one I think Paul was favoring and I was supportive of it was, let's go with what we know, shake the tree and unearth other details that we didn't know.
And finally, shaking that tree actually gets me something. The Pasadena Police Department admits they made a mistake. After months of saying there's no police report, because there was no need for one, because this was a medical emergency, not a crime, the department creates one retroactively. 3 months after the incident, the police spokesperson tells me they dropped the ball because of a, quote, training issue. I've never seen anything like it in my career. Neither has former Detective Joseph Jackalone.
Police departments have policies and procedures and protocols for a reason. We had a saying that said, when in doubt, fill it out. So if you didn't know you had to fill out a report, just fill it out. The worst thing that could happen is that the supervisor who has to sign off on it says, you know what, this isn't necessary, so we're just going to get rid of it.
Finally, I get access to not just the very tardy police report, but also recordings of the 911 calls made from the hotel. At first, I'm only given the recording of the call that Devon made.
Are you able to transfer me to that room or unit?
Yeah.
But it cuts out when the dispatcher asks to be transferred to room 304. Then the Pasadena city manager sends me a second recording that he says the city was, quote, able to obtain, and it's, quote, a better version of the 911 call, and it continues longer than the original file. Good. It does make me wonder, why wouldn't the city release the second recording immediately? Why hold it back? I finally get to hear for myself why the second recording is, quote, better.
Is she awake now?
No, she's sort of groggy. She's very groggy, you know.
Do you know how much she drank?
A bunch. I mean, I came in the room, and there were lots of...
But did she take anything else with it, or just the alcohol?
I think just the alcohol.
The call places Pugliafito at the scene. We know from the report there's meth in the room, and here he is present at the overdose of a young woman. And you can hear that he lies. He doesn't mention the drugs that, according to Devon in the police report, were found in the room. So far, everything Devon Kahn has told me has checked out. I have plenty to run my story. My editor, Matt Late, agrees.
The first draft was well documented based on police reports, 911 recordings, interviews with key people. It was a solid story.
There might be more to report in follow-up stories, but the details we have are bulletproof. The hotshot dean of USC's medical school is caught up in an incident where a young woman has overdosed on drugs and he lies to the police. Then he mysteriously steps down. It looks bad.
At its essence, this is a story about a powerful man abusing his position and authority. And then on top of that, you have an institution that is essentially covering up for this man.
It's Friday, the end of the day. I'm on my way out the door. I stop and talk to my friend Jack Leonard.
I've been at the Los Angeles Times for more than 25 years. I started as an intern there in 1997, and I've covered many different beats: police, crime, county government. I've done a lot of investigative work. Paul is excited about every really good story that he works on. When he finds some wrongdoing, when he finds something that authorities or powerful people are trying to keep hidden, he gets very excited about it. And that's contagious, and he likes sharing that, like many of us do. So he comes over to my desk and he starts telling me about the story.
I tell him about Pugliafito and USC, the stonewalling from the cops, the retroactive police report.
I remember him talking about Pasadena police and how they were not providing him with the records that they were supposed to be providing.
But Jack's reaction is not what I expect.
I said something to the effect of, what makes you think they're going to publish that?
And that's when I start to think, how far does USC's influence actually go? Is it possible that it could extend all the way into my own newsroom? Next time on Fallen Angels.
As an investigative reporter, every story could be your last.
Matt and I face an uphill battle trying to get our Pugliafito story in the paper.
I was in this defiant mode and kind of clung to the idea that Davon said he wasn't closing the door to more reporting.
So we decide to force the issue.
I remember being in the conference room and Matt had said, like, look, we're going to do this thing. We're just going to keep it on the down low. We're going to make it so they have to publish Paul's story.
That's next time on Fallen Angels. Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, is a production of iHeart Podcasts in partnership with Best Case Studios. I'm Paul Pringle. This show is based on my book, Bad City, Peril and Power in the City of Angels. Fallen Angels was written by Isabel Evans, Adam Pincus, and Brent Katz. Isabel Evans is our producer. Brent Katz is co-producer. Associate producers are Hannah Leibowitz-Lockard and Anpaho Locke. Executive producers are me, Paul Pringle, Joe Piccarello, and Adam Pincus for Best Case Studios. Original music is by James Newberry. This episode was edited by Max Michael Miller with assistance from Nisha Venkat. Additional editing, sound design, and additional music by Dean White. Harriet Ryan, Matt Hamilton, Sarah Parvini, and Adam Elmarek are consulting producers. Our iHeart team is Ali Perry and Carl Keitel. Follow and rate Fallen Angels wherever you get your podcasts.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.